this, the Angelus. We're now on season 3, episode 38 of this podcast. And this time we'll be discussing another interesting topic about assistive technology. For today's podcast episode, we have invited the CEO of Abby by Gogotech, Mr. John DeBenedet, as he discussed with us its remarkable features and its significant relevance to our digital society. So let's get started. Thank you for listening to FinCircle and welcome to our podcast. Here are some key facts about assistive technology. It is an umbrella term covering the systems and services related to the delivery of assistive products and services. This also maintains and improves an individual's functioning and independence, thereby promoting their well-being. Hearing aids, wheelchairs, communication aids, spectacles, prosthesis, pill organizers and memory aids are just examples of these assistive products. Globally, more than 1 billion people need one or more assistive products. With an aging global population and a rise in non-communicable diseases, more than 2 billion people will need at least one assistive product by 2030, with many older people needing two or more. Today, only 1 in 10 people in need have access to assistive products. Who are the people who need assistive technology? And these are the people with disabilities, older people, as well as people with non-communicable diseases such as diabetes and stroke, for instance. People with mental health conditions including dementia and autism, as well as people with gradual functional decline. Across the globe, many people who need assistive technology do not have access to it. And examples of the unmet global need for assistive technology includes the following. 200 million people with low vision who do not have access to assistive products for low vision, for instance. 75 million people who need a wheelchair, and only 5% to 15% of those in need who who have access to one. 466 million people globally experience hearing loss. And hearing aid production currently meets less than 10% of the global need. There's also a huge workforce shortages in assistive technology. In fact, there are over 75% of low-income countries have no prosthetic, or it is what we call orthotics training programs. And countries with highest prevalence of disability-related health conditions tend to be those with the lowest supply of health workers skilled in provision of assistive technology. Even as low as 2 professionals per 10,000 population. And there's also a lack of affordability in low-income countries is a major reason people in need do not possess assistive products. There's also a few countries that have a national assistive technology policy or program. In many countries, access to assistive technology in the public sector is poor or non-existent. Even in high-income countries, assistive products are often rationed or not included within the health and welfare schemes, leading to high out-of-pocket payments by users and their families. For example, it is a common policy in a number of European countries for the state to provide older people with only one hearing aid, for instance. Despite the fact that most people with age-related hearing loss requires 2 hearing aids to function. In high-income countries, services are often standalone and not integrated, and people are forced to attend multiple appointments at different locations, which are costly and add to the burden on users as well as caregivers and on health and welfare budgets. In many low and middle income countries, national service delivery for assistive products does not exist, and those who can afford them buy assistive products direct from a pharmacy, for instance, or even a private clinic or workshop. People from the poorer sectors of society must rely on erratic donations or charity services, which often focused on delivering large quantities of low quality or used products, and these are often not appropriate for the user or the context, and lack mechanisms for repair and follow-up. A similar scenario is also common in emergency response programs. The 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development places good health and well-being at the center of a new development vision. It also emphasizes what we call universal health coverage to ensure a sustainable development for all, so that everyone everywhere can access the health services needed without facing financial hardship. The interesting part is that the universal health coverage can be advanced inclusively only if people are able to access quality assistive products when and where they need them. Addressing the unmet need of assistive products is crucial and critical. For us to achieve this, what we call sustainable development goals, for us to provide universal health coverage and to implement the agreed United Nations Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities, which was ratified by 177 countries. So it's quite interesting to know that in spite and despite of this ratified, agreed policy, which is being implemented by the United Nations, particularly for the UN Conventions on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities, majority of the countries that is part of this ratified agreement either didn't implement it or was not existing in their individual locations. That's why it's very important that the fundamentals of leaving no one behind means ensuring the people with disabilities, the older populations that we have, as well as those affected by chronic diseases, are included in the society and enabled to live a healthy and dignified life. In today's podcast episode, we have invited Mr. John De Benedetto, founder and chief executive officer at Abby by GoGoTech, to discuss with us the critical importance of assistive technology to our society as a whole. It's a great privilege to have you, John, and welcome to FenCircle.
Hi, Edgar. Great. Thanks so much for having me.
Let's probably start by defining on what is assistive technology, John, and its value proposition to our digital society.
Hi. Yeah, great. Assistive technology is a really broad spectrum, and the term includes software solutions, communications technology, hardware, devices, everything. It can be prosthetic, to help people overcome injuries or impairments, even exoskeletons, you know, to help people who've lost spinal injuries, you know, move their lower extremities. But it can be as simple as text-to-speech technology for the visually impaired or hearing aids, right? Any kind of technology. There are a lot of wearable technologies now that are helping people balance and you know, fall prevention technology. So hardware, software, systems, prosthetics, devices that help people with different abilities, you know, meet society and the activities that they want to perform in life head on. That's assistive technology.
From your perspective, John, how effective is assistive technology?
I mean, first of all, getting better all the time. And one of the advantages to living in an age where technology is increasing exponentially, and the applications of technology are increasing exponentially, that revolutionary and completely brand new models for, you know, places where assistive technology, you know, what can be built and how it can be put to use is improving and increasing constantly. And I have to say, you know, in the last 15 to 20 years, there has
what is the most common assistive technology, John, that you are aware of?
You know, off the top of my head, I'd have to say text-to-speech maybe speech-to-text. Everything from an input device, like think about it, a joystick or a mouse can be, to some degree, could be assistive technology. The revolution that's going on with wearable technology, and I would have to say that text to speech for the visually impaired might be the most pervasive because it's also used as a mainstream technology. But there are all kinds of for hearing and for sight and for mobility and for all kinds of they're becoming more pervasive, and the barrier to acquire this kind of technology is coming down all the time, and some of it's getting built into smartphones, and really, it's proliferating rapidly, which is great.
How can assistive technology devices, John, improve the quality of life for a person with disability?
I mean, generally speaking, you can imagine the, just the ability to read books aloud, the ability to enhance or augment hearing, the ability, in the case of Abby, we're making electric vehicle technology to really work on mobility, to help people overcome mobility impairment. And that, if you think about it, wheelchairs are great. In many parts of the world, a wheelchair, a manual wheelchair, forget about motorized wheelchairs, a manual wheelchair makes all the difference between somebody who will be on the floor or on a bed without it, right? Somebody who's restricted to a seated position or even more impaired. And so a seat with wheels gets that person the ability to move either on their own or with assistance. And that basically affects education, right? I mean, there's I was reading something from the United Nations a while back that said 90% of kids in like 30 or 40 countries who have mobility impairments or other disabilities don't even get a chance to go to school, right? So it can mean the difference between being off the floor, out of bed, to being able to go to school, to be able to work, and to be able to move independently. And that's why for Abby, in Abby's case, we're motorizing wheelchairs and trying to do it in a new disruptive and in an affordable way, and that's part of the quality of life improvement. It's about freedom, independence.
I understand, John, that you're launching a new affordable personal EV combining machine vision, robotics, and Internet of Things, called Abby. So this is the interesting and most exciting part, John. So can you tell us more about it?
Yeah, sure. So as you can see in my background here, if it's on video, Abby is a smart wheelchair, basically a powered wheelchair, and it's the traditional rear wheel drive, big back wheels, small front cast steering wheels, and a whole bunch of technology, and there are a couple of different categories of mobility device, wheels and motors. And some of them have small wheels front and back. Some of them are more like scooters that you ride with handlebars. And then there are kind of big, robust, heavy, and quite expensive powered wheelchairs. Well, we, with Abby, decided to build our first product on that traditional product at that traditional wheelchair form factor with the large rear wheels that have hand rims, so that Abby is versatile, can be used manually, light enough to use manually, but also has brushless motors and lithium battery pack. And that allows the wheelchair to take on a whole new set of capabilities. Still has the push handles on the back, still has the push rims, you know, the hand rims on the main rear wheel, but it also has a smart controller that's IoT connected. There are cameras and sensors in Abby, and that allows the software to work together with the hardware, everything from a cushion of obstacle avoidance, the ability to operate the chair without, you know, hands-free, right? And the ability to remote control the chair, and the ability for the controller to interact, give the user a way to interact with the cloud and other things. So and I can tell you more about that, but that's the general thing is we wanted to make a lightweight, portable power chair, do it for about half or less the price of comparable products out on the market. And we wanted to bring the technology up to the current level, right? Your kids in their third grade science or robotics class are actually developing things that the mainstream makers of wheelchairs have yet to introduce into the market. So it's like the difference between what a Tesla can do and what a, you know, 15, 20 year old regular car can do. We're trying to bring that same level of machine vision and safety, as well as performance, to a very simple traditional rear-wheel drive wheelchair.
What are the challenges that you have encountered, John, in preparing this innovative product? And what are your relevant takeaways from these experiences?
Well, I mean, you know, some of the big challenges, I mean, actually, like I was saying before, it's a really good time to create a new personal electric vehicle. There, you know, in addition to the power and performance of lithium batteries and the downward price, you know, the scale that battery electric vehicles have achieved, whether it is cars, e-bicycles, skateboards, two-wheel scooters, you know, you name it. That mass production of battery electric vehicle technology has really just brought the price point down and the performance up to the point where we can really build a powerful product. And, you know, Abby can carry 150 kilograms and be remote controlled. So in that sense, it's a great way to move around if you need that kind of mobility aid. But it's also a robot that you can, you know, and it can be a companion robot. So some of the challenges that we face, you know, we're really not in the hardware, but integrating IoT and the robotic machine vision capabilities require, you know, a lot of R&D. We've done that over the past 3 years, so, and we're now ready to go to market. But it's been a rewarding, challenging journey. We've gone through about 5 iterations of prototypes, first to just get the motors and the power system right. And then we've also designed Abby with some quick release components. We made Abby so that she disassembles and reassembles basically with push buttons and you know, thumb screws, so that you can break Abby down for transport into 12 very lightweight pieces that can be snapped together in literally a matter of 90 seconds. So you can disassemble and reassemble Abby, put her yeah, I mean, the challenges have been, you know, we made it through the pandemic doing R&D. You know, we certainly, you know, we had a little bit of a constraint on a supply chain. You know, we had to change suppliers once or twice due to some impact that the pandemic had on some of our partners, the first set of partners we were working with. But we got through it, and then there's always raising capital. So, you know, raising venture funds for a hardware business can be tricky. My co-founder and I were able to bootstrap the business, get to the point where we're ready for production, and you know, we're still raising money on a crowdfunding campaign. But I can tell you more about that later.
How does assistive technology, John, enhance inclusiveness?
Yeah, I mean, like I kind of was saying before, the you know, whether it is related to visual impaired, hearing impaired, mobility impaired, or learning, or you know, whatever, it's simply a way to have society and, you know, its places and its activities be more accessible to people with different abilities. And that can be, yeah, I mean, again, school and employment are, you know, another thing in the United States, there's a big crisis where people are having a hard time finding skilled health practitioners. So there's a shortage of people to take care of aging population, the aging population, right? So the ability to, you know, the ability to move independently in the case of Abby, right, with an IoT connected, you know, that means data and location services, and the ability to communicate. You know, maybe your elderly parent doesn't use a smartphone, but if they can drive a joystick wheelchair, you can talk to them with you know, through the cloud, and maybe have companionship robotic features as well. So it takes the burden off of caregivers as well, and because you don't need to push somebody in the case of mobility. So there's a tremendous upside for society when people with reduced mobility or other different abilities are met more than halfway, right, by through the use of assistive technology. Everybody wins.
Where does Abby stand, John, as compared to its adversaries?
Well, I like to think of so Abby is one of only a handful of the motorized traditional rear drive products. So if you can see over my shoulder here, this picture of the schematic of a wheelchair, most of the products on the market have small front rear wheels, and they rely 100% on the battery. When the battery is depleted, you really can't push them. You can't self-propel them. So Abby is among a small group of chairs, so in this configuration. And we basically, you know, and there are a couple of brands out there that are great. They're actually amazing products. Albert is one of them, and the Sunrise Medical Quickie. And we basically chose the same product form factor, and we engineered a little more tech into Abby. But we are pricing Abby something less than half, but about 40% of what those competitive products are positioned as. And we're doing that because the you know, there's an unfortunate status quo in the let's call it the powered wheelchair space, the status quo in most developed countries is that the manufacturers primarily distribute their products through a healthcare, a complex healthcare third-party payer reimbursement scheme that typically, you know, the chairs themselves are positioned as medical devices, and then national and private insurers negotiate pricing, and the industry, for whatever reason, has really inflated the prices to be able to maintain that multi-party, high-touch medical or healthcare distribution scheme. We're actually launching Abbey Direct Consumer as a personal electric vehicle, not a medical device. And we are going to rely on that quick assembly and disassembly to allow people to, for DIY assembly and simple part swapping shipments for service. And we're going to also, you know, like a regular e-commerce product sale, offer buy now, pay later financing at the checkout stage. And with that lower price point, hopefully we're going to bring the barrier down so low that Abbey is within reach of people's out-of-pocket expense capability. So that's kind of like a different approach. So in a way, we want to expand. We want to disrupt this market by through expansion play that basically relies on a pretty simple standard wheelchair form factor with a lot of tech in it at a really low price.
How do you foresee, John, the future of assistive technology?
I think that, the tech, the exponentially increasing, you know, semiconductor, you know, the power, the price and power computing paradigm, right? Whether it's Moore's law or not, this is this wearable technology, sensors, cameras, machine vision. You know, we're actually seeing exponential gains in, and I'm going to use Abbey to answer the question. So what do I see as the future? I see some kind of convergence, right? If you look at Alexa or some of the products that are sold, you know, Alexa can be a companion for an aging person, right? And there's all kinds of apps that are being developed to reach, you know, new audience members, new constituents, and kind of make life easier. So as I was saying with Abbey, you know, Abbey can be upgraded through the cloud. We have enough cameras and sensors on Abbey so that we can have a software roadmap that will deliver enhanced and new functionality as we develop it without the user having to trade in or up the hardware. And so, for example, you know, Abbey can be a companion to its user, and maybe their adult children can interact with an app on their mobile phones or on the cloud, and that can actually trigger a message or, you know, something on the joystick for the user of the chair, and maybe you get a yes, no, or a, you know, quick prompt. So you can actually, you know, make, you know, with Abby as a power chair, but with the connectivity and the machine vision, she's so much more. She's a companion robot. Of course, we're going to have to build some software for that, but the connectivity is there. And she's also a household carry robot, right? She can you know, I see a lot of startups now in robotics offering heavy lift, you know, assistance robots to help people move things around their home, right? So Abby can do some of those things too. So I think there's a convergence where, you know, your Alexa can do more, your PDA, your cell phone can do more, and your wheelchair can do more. right? So really, just following the power law that's making all technology more powerful and less expensive.
Very promising indeed, John. Are there any initiatives that you're currently preoccupied with that you would like to share with our podcast listening audience? And most importantly, what are the easiest way of reaching out or contacting you?
Yeah, a great question. Thanks. Yeah, so I'm at John, J-O-H-N, at GoGoTech, GoGoTech.co. And right now we are preparing for our initial production. We're going to manufacture our first 100 Abbeys by the beginning of next year. And we're going to use those to fill our pre-orders. We have some orders and we have a wait list. So we're going to bring on board some of our early adopters in the first half of next year. And we'll have some of that to start selling from inventory. We're launching in the U.S. But right now, we're also doing an equity crowdfunding campaign. And we're using a platform called WeFunder. And at that WeFunder place, you just search for GoGoTech, G-O-G-O-T-E-C-H, and you'll see our campaign. We started it about 7 weeks ago. It's doing great. And so that's, really, what does a CEO do? A CEO project manages, Frank gets ready for production, and he raises capital. So that's pretty much where all my time is going right now.
Thanks so much, John, for sharing us your valuable insights on the assistive technology and the remarkable feature of Abby and its significant relevance to our digital space. We wish you great success in the future.
Thanks so much, Edgar. Really appreciate it. And I'll send you some links with my contact stuff.
Thank you. Abby by GoGoTech. We would like to express our sincere appreciation to Mr. John DeBenedites on sharing us his insightful views on the technologies that makes a difference for people with physical disabilities. We would like to hear from you. Share us your thoughts regarding our topics and send us a message on the Anchor Voice message box. Your message could end up in our future podcast episode. Make sure you never miss any episodes of FinCircle by clicking the subscribe button or follow us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Breaker, Google Podcasts, Radio Public, Amazon Podcasts, Pocket Casts, Audible, Overcast, TuneIn, and Anchor.fm. You can also reach us on our website at fincircle.wordpress.com and our Facebook page at FinCircle Podcast. This concludes our podcast episode today. Thank you for listening on FinCircle. This is Ed Angelus. Let's catch up again soon.